Father, we thank you so much for what you're bringing us. And we yield to the Holy Ghost that we may teach your people here and around the world some emphasis on your government and how you work to bring them closer to you, and that they may be able to see their life more vividly. Thank you for the stewardship of the Holy Spirit. He know everything. We ask him to help us tonight. This is not a self-will moment. This is not something you can do on your own. We recognize that. And we're so thankful. It's time we come to spend with you. Make yourself better known to us. You're not just a feeling, you're a person. Father, we honor you for what you did through your Son, the kingdom, the church, the Holy Spirit. Thank you so much. Our lives was cut off and you give us another chance. Heaven is just as real tonight as it will be tomorrow. And we thank you so much for every person under the sound of my voice. May whatever solution, whatever answer, whatever direction, whatever correction, whatever protection they need, may the word addresses tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, before you be seated, look at John 16. It's a very powerful verse. These three or four verses will help us. I feel like Gloria Copeland with all these notepads. Gloria used to have all kind of pads. I feel like her tonight. There in John 16, I think we talked about it a few minutes. We'll pray there a few minutes. I want to pray there with you a few moments. Because we're in this area now in ministering to you, and this church has such an assignment from God. And so that 12 through that 15 verse seemed like it's speaking to me real clear. And as I shift in revelation, some of you have been here being trained for the shift. Now, you're shifting for the whole body of Christ. You got to understand that we're not in Darrow.
Yes, sir.
You got to understand that. This apostolic government and insight, we're talking about holiness. We're talking about the stewardship of the Holy Spirit. We're talking about living on the inside.
Yes, sir.
There's a few statements I'm going to make to you that will help you so immensely. It helped me so much. That's why I got so many notepads I've been trying to write. It's not so much me praying, it's us talking. What? It's not so much a one-way conversation no more with me. Matter of fact, this morning he talked more than I did. Who you think need to be talking the most? In your prayer time, he should talk more than you. Why? He might know a little bit more than you. Amen. Amen. So I'm just trying to tell you some secrets now. There's some hard work we've been doing in the church. Hard work. Trying to make contact with someone that we're already in contact with. Are you hearing me? And the rigmarole, or the hardness, or the I have to kind of push. No, it's going to become so exciting.
Amen.
To you, because you don't really know where he's going to take you. All right?
Yes,
now you got to press through the normal.
Amen.
Routine. You got to press through in ritual. But the Lord, he's finally going to let you see something you've never seen before.
Amen.
And it's not hard. So here you see, you notice the 12 verse. It was just for a prophetical statement that Jesus was going to make. But when Jesus said, I have many things to say to you. Now, look at that last statement. Now, just because he have died and the Holy Spirit is here, it doesn't mean you're going to get it. But you can bear it now if you study the word. You see what I'm saying? You see my point? And notice the things he said he would do. We'll just pray about that a few minutes. Notice, he says, how be when he, the Spirit of truth, is come. So he is come. Yes, Acts 2, he will guide you into all truth. See, you can't just go into this truth. The Holy Spirit has to guide us. For he should not speak of himself whatsoever he should hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and show it unto you. All things that the Father has of mine, therefore say I, that he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. See, you can't see, let he show it to you. So let's pray about him showing us things tonight we need to see. You ready? Holy Spirit, we yield to your showing and your speaking in this maturity class here. Show us what you want us to see. Make it clear. We honor you. Show us the Father. Show us his will. Show us his plan for the night, tomorrow, next day. Each person, speak to their heart. Around the world, men and women who tune in, open the scriptures, open our eyes, open our understanding, my. Open our ears that we may hear what our God is saying. We welcome you, Holy Spirit. Anything that hindering you in any way, we repent, ask for forgiveness, move it out, and come on in. Thank you for every person. Thank you that they're not here in vain. They will hear your voice. They will not only hear my voice, they will hear your voice. You will speak to them. They will become hungry and hungry and hungry and hungry. They'll be fed. It will be such a joy as we yield to you, as we decrease, that you may increase in our lives. That it just don't be a moment we get together, but your presence will be known in our midst. Thank you now. Open my eyes, open my ear, open my understanding. Hallelujah. All right. You may be seated. Let's get to go back to 1 Peter. I got to keep going from what started. Here we talked about, I'm just going to remind you of a few things. Number one, of the renewing of your mind. Number two, recognize the importance of receiving the power of grace. And that's a cross factor. Having a revelation of Jesus Christ and him crucified, always right there with you. Now, this is sort of like a combination of hitting both ways, but it says, be obedient, be not in ignorance. I mean, it's sort of like boxing, you know. Be in obedience. See, if you're in ignorance, you can't be in obedience. If you're in obedience, you can't be ignorant. Stop looking for your holiness on the outside. It's not out there.
Amen.
Okay. So we look at 1 Peter chapter 1. I just want to read two verses because we've got so much to cover. Verse 15. But as he which has called you is what? Boy, y'all say that word real low. Hold it. And you know why you're saying it low? Huh? Because there has not been enough training on it to understand it's beneficial. It's not to block you or judge you. It's beneficial. It puts you out the way. It puts you out of the enemy reach.
Amen.
What? Yeah, see, it's a place that's been foreign to us to some degree because it's somewhat was taught backwards. One way it taught backward is you can't do it. Yeah, but that's your man characteristic of being like him. And so your shortcoming, don't let him fool you. You're just like him.
Amen.
And he's every shortcoming he finds in your life, if you know you're like him, you and him are straightening it out.
Yes,
and so he said, you know, the scripture said, draw nigh to God.
Yes,
he'll draw nigh to you, clean your hand, your sinner. Well, you can't do that yourself, but he'll do it for you. So he says, but as he which have called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. That word conversation means lifestyle. You can have a holy lifestyle, but you cannot have it with just scriptures, just going to church, praying on the outside. It will come from an inner contact, an intimacy that you really haven't enjoyed your life as a Christian until it really starts happening to you on a continuous basis. Not every now and then, but continuously being, here's the word, being in his presence. When you be in his presence, everything come easy. Even the struggle become easy. When you learn how to get in his presence. So he said, be ye holy. So, you know, don't think he's talking about the person next to you because you got shortcomings. That's what the enemy wants you to think. Because you're a child of God, you have the right to be holy. Now, I'm not going to ask this question, but I'm going to ask it. How many of you all really want to be holy beyond conversation, just talking? Yeah, and because you got the characteristic in you, so my job is to teach you holiness government. How you can let the government of the Holy Spirit hold you in your rightful character as a child of God. That can be done. Then the dullness will leave. Watch this. The duty will leave. You see, a lot of times we come to church as a duty. And sometimes it's dull if the preacher don't excite you. If the prayer leader don't excite you, you really haven't been to church.
Yes.
And then a lot of times people go to church to only get their need met. That's improper.
Yes,
that's improper. The Father will never meet your need just for your need. Because
yes,
they know you're a dangerous person because you're not concerned about helping somebody else. All right. What about me, Lord? What about me, Lord? All right, so he said, now verse 16, because it is written, what he said? Why? Be ye holy. For I, so would God tell me to be something I can't be?
Yes,
it'd be wrong in the scripture to tell me, right? So it's surrounded with certain things that you have to know. I wrote a few things down for you, and I want to recap on some things. I want to give you, I don't know what they call it, for the word holy. I want to give you a statement about that. Holding outstanding love yieldfully. Holding outstanding love yieldfully. That's holy. Then I want to ask you a question, because you need to hear this question. What happens when your spirit invades your soul? See, your soul is yourself and your self-consciousness. And unless you train your soul, you're silly. Amen. You'll do anything a non-Christian do. You understand what I'm saying? Because your soul is not saved. It's on the inside of you, but it's not saved. And it could be unconscious of holiness or righteousness. Are you following me?
Yes, sir.
Let me see, can I get your attention? When you don't know how to live in holiness or live on the inside, here's what I wrote in my office before I left out. Living on the surface, going around in circles. And that's happened to many Christians. They're living on the surface and they're going around in circles with scripture. With a pat. Stomping their feet. But life at large is not producing what you know can be produced. But you have to know how to do it. And so holiness calls you off the surface, out of the surface, to have a deeper walk with God. Secondly, you are called to be a kingdom master from the inside. You should be living masterfully. You should be a parade of God's goodness. People see you ought to see God's goodness because you're walking in it. Now, you put your seatbelt on because this apostolic thing is something, boy. We've been to drill on you now. We have built the name of Jesus at the expense of not being rightfully acquainted with the Father. We call him God. And it's rightfully there we go. But the name of Jesus' assignment is to take us to the Father.
Yes.
Jesus cannot call no shots by himself.
Amen.
And so in your prayer, you better learn Jesus' secret. Turn to the 6th chapter of Matthew. Learn Jesus' secret. One of Jesus' secret of holiness, one of Jesus' secret of never failing. Even though he was the Son of God, even though he was God, but he tried to show us a secret that we need to know to be in the Father's holiness. I'll show you this first. These are some of the things that are going to take you from the outside. Take you from being a normal Christian. The disciples wanted to know how Jesus prayed. And somewhat the church took it as a ritual prayer. But it's actually the richest prayer.
Amen.
All right? And so when you see this, when I show you this, more than one time I'll show it to you. Because you got to stop just being God to you.
Amen.
Your closeness to him is based on a relationship.
Yes,
not a reading.
Yes.
All right? Now, when the disciples asked the Lord to teach them how to pray, verse 9, Matthew 6, 9. And then I'm going to run over and show you something else that will help you so much. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, what? Notice the first word, and connect it with holiness. What's it? Holy be thy name.
Yes, sir.
So here, Jesus prayed, open his prayer with Father. All right, now, how many times you open your, how many times you talk to him, Father, Father, Father? You, I mean, we say God, Lord, yeah. Have mercy. But Father, he's waiting on that name. He's waiting on you to start saying that name out your mouth in a conversation without your ritual. He wants you to be personal. He loves you personally, so he wants to talk to you as his child. And so as his child, you need to know the significance of calling him Father. He don't want to be called God all the time. Sinners can call him God. But holiness puts you in a position to call him Father. It will make a difference now. It will make a difference. Start doing it. You see, somewhat with outside knowledge of the word, we can't create the intimacy that the Father desired to have with us. Amen. We're constantly putting a lot of word out to him. But he said, I don't want all that right now. I want you. We'll get together in the word in a little while, but come here. See what I'm saying? I want to put my hand on you. I want to help you. I want to hold you up. I want to tell you I got you covered. You know, he said, get out the ditch on one side, and you go, stay up a little while, and you go on the ditch on the other side. So you got to find somewhere where you can keep flowing. Are you following me?
Yes, sir.
Now, so he said, our Father. Now, let's take a notification of the first cry on the cross. Luke 23:34. Turn there, if you will. First cry. This man was using something we need to know how to use.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yeah. No, that's not the voice I wanted. I must have got the wrong voice. What you had up there? 23:34? That's the wrong voice I had? Luke, I got the wrong voice. Huh? That's not what I want. 46, what did 46 say? Father? No, when he said, Father, forgive them. That was the right voice you had up? Father was in there? Put it back up there then. Then Jesus said, then. I want you to underline in your Bible. Then said Jesus, now you're on the cross. So this is the first thing he said. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment. But I want you to see the first and the last saying on the cross was Father. Look in Luke 23:46 now. Luke 23:46. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father. So the first thing he said on the cross, first cry, the last cry, he began it with Father. The Lord's Prayer, he started with Father. We have not been using the Father's name as we should. And you got to know you got a right to use it. But if you live on the outside, if you're not living in holiness, because the Father's name is holy, oh my, we'll come back. Look, turn to Hebrews 12. Turn to Hebrews 12. This intimacy, this inner touching, this knowing, this family word. I'm trying to find a way to say it. All right, Hebrews 12 now. Hebrews 12. Turn it with me. Verse 7, if you endure chastening, God dealing with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the father chastens not? Now, nobody liked chastening them. But I stop by to tell you, chastening is good for you. Boy, don't you run out in that road in front of that truck no more. And see, we be running in front of a truck. Spiritually. And the father, when he see that, he gonna stop us from running in that truck. Maybe we're making a creep. Y'all know what a creep is. And he don't want you to run that creep, because that creep dangerous. So he's chasing you about the creep. Or maybe we're in some kind of foggy deal he don't want us in. And so he kind of hold his hand back so to correct it. So he don't want to agree with you in that, because he knows it's a trap set up for you. That's the father's love. You don't want no father don't never whoop you. Never tell you you're wrong, just go along with everything. That ain't no real father. That's how children go bad. That's why these little knuckleheads all doing all that stuff today. Somebody need to knock them out. And when the police say, yeah, I hit him, I'll hit him again. Bam, take me to jail. I'm going to hit him when I get back. Verse 8. But if you without chastisement. See, y'all, you thought I was cussing. Watch now. Whereof all are partaker, then you ye are bastards and not sons. That is right there. That is. But I want you to see verse 9. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we give them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of Spirit, the Father of Spirit, and live? See, he's the Father of your spirit. He's not the Father, just the Father of your flesh, or just the Father of your soul. He's the Father of your spirit. So that spirit is the spirit of holiness. So you should have a certain conduct, because your engine run another way. So you're not going to live a normal pattern of life like everybody else, because you're living from within. Your energy, your wisdom, your power, your direction, your correction, your protection, your provision, your blessing, your anointing, your wisdom, your grace, your favor. Man, say, I don't understand how you do that, man. You don't know, I got another source of favor. But as you walk in holiness. Now go back, I'm going to show you, because I want to touch on that father's name a little more, because it has something to do with holiness. He's the father of spirit. We're talking about the spirit of holiness. And we're talking about being happy holy. Because when you do, oh my, I feel anointed. When you do find out about this holiness, that what you thought was big or made you excited or I got to have it, get real small. Cars, houses, money, all of it becomes so small once you get the real thing. I wish I could see. See, Satan magnified worthless things. Once you see the magnitude of eternity, the magnitude of your walk with God, the magnitude of how much the Father loves you, all this other stuff going to be, just there. You can enjoy them, but they're not the real nitty gritty. But you never will see it from the outside. This stuff is so short-spanned. People spend their whole life to get something to leave it. But in holiness and in your relationship and your intimacy with God and your fellowship with God, holiness bespeak God's presence. Yes, sir. Sometimes he look like he hang right over you. And begin to talk a language that you know you're not going to fail.
Yes, sir.
And he's more closer when you don't feel nothing. Let me tell you some secret about holiness. Being still is one, and silence is another one. Set before him in silence and wait. He's going to start talking to you. Ooh, I feel it now. See, we have learned to rush God, bombard him, tear the gate down, open up, this is me. Bam, bam. If you slow up, I'll show you how to use the key. You out there hidden like you're a stranger. You got a right to be here. Every day. Every moment. You got a right to be there. You don't have to be praying no 45 minutes to get in my presence. I'm there when you open your mouth. I dare you tomorrow morning and say, Father, I know you're here. In your opening prayer, Father, I know you're here. Thank you for being here. Is there anything you won't tell me? Would you let him do a little talking? I think he can show you better than you can ask. You understand my language? Huh? See, we're talking about living from the inside. We're not talking about all this religious stuff now, all this data we got. We're talking about yielding to a holy God who is the Father of Spirit, who's going to keep us hungry for him. If the church is entertainment, it's just competition of entertainments. But if there's something different when you come to God's house and get in God's presence and you can feel a vibration of God's greatness.
Yes,
he holy, I'm holy. You see, now what happened, James, is this the fact, son. They have tried to explain our holiness away with a sermon. Mistakes might have been made in your life. That don't take your holiness away. Your holiness is screaming, come on back in here. Because you're my son, you're my daughter. You follow what I'm saying? All right, look with me again. Now remember the first word in the Lord's Prayer, he used is Father. He said, our Father, but he's talking about Father, right? Then I want you to put a hammer on that name. Starting right now, say it, Father.
Father.
Is he your Father? Say it again.
Father.
Say it again.
Father.
Boy, God, the Father is happy. See, I said God. Father happy because we've been calling him God. Finally found some of my children. Father. Say it again.
Father.
Now, I want you to use that in your prayer time. And I want you to think about how much he loved you. And I want you to think about it. He's not looking for mistake because he saw the mistake before it happened.
Yes.
I pray to God he put his arm around you in the morning and give you a father's hug. Oh, I tell you, it's powerful. I thought praying in tongue or more. Oh, my. Whew. My Lord. My Lord. Go back to Matthew. Go back to Matthew 6. My goodness. Look at Matthew 6, chapter 6, verse 4. That the arm be in secret, and thy father, which sees in secret himself, shall reward thee openly. Every manifestation comes from the Father. All right, I want you to look at another verse. I think we looked at, look at verse 8. Be ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth. You see what he said? Your Father knoweth what thing you need before you ask for it. I believe I want to call that name. You know. You see it? Do you see it? And then we had, then I want you to mark it out. Then we had verse 9, where when he started teaching them how to pray, the first thing he said to them is about Father, right? All right. Now, let me show you again. Go to John 14. John 14. And I'm not going to teach long tonight. Yeah, I taught Sunday night. I didn't go to class last night. I played Sunday morning to them. They needed Sunday morning. All right, John's Gospel, chapter 14. John's Gospel, chapter 14, verse 23. Read verse 23 so you can get involved. I want you to see Jesus trying to hook us up with the Father. Now, he already hooked up. Because in his 14th chapter of John, he told him, boy, why are you looking at me? I'm only doing me and my Father one. Oh, could you get to the audacity to say, me and my Father one? What? That'll scare the religion out of you. Me and say it. You sons and daughters of God, you son, right? So you see, you can't look at your outward life because you got a soul and senses you're dealing with. You got a soul and senses got to be trained. So your soul and senses is not taking your sonship from you. You got to take your sonship and take it from your soul and your senses. You got to use your relationship with God to bring your soul in. You got to invade your soul with your spirit. Sin is not a body problem. Body stink don't come from your body. It comes from the sweat. So you out there fighting your body. Clean it off. And then we got some of us spraying perfume over it. That make it worse. And that's what happened. I got a revelation here. That's what happens if you got the stench of sin coming out of your soul and your body, and you're really a son, a daughter of God. You got to take that. A word is the only deodorant that's going to set it back right, that you smell right, or that your life function right. You follow what I'm saying? Oh, that's good teaching now. I'm telling you right there. You never forget that? Huh? So I'm going to get off of this, but I got one more illustration I'm thinking. Because you never forget this. So if you think things not going right, smell yourself. Now, not talking about body now. Oh, not talking, I'm finna put an illustration. Not talking about body, but I'm talking about sin. Have you ever smelled yourself? The Holy Spirit will tell you instantly. And see, you didn't have to hold your hand up. I already know. You know why? I know you're dealing with those two parts that are not saved. That's what I'm called to deal with that. I'm your pastor, so I understand. I understand you're not perfect. But may the Lord give the revelation to you tonight. Then you won't beat yourself so much. You'll get up and get the thing straight and say, Father, help me not to do this no more. I repent. I'm sorry for it. I know I'm wrong. I forgive the other person who come against me and get yourself back straight. Can I get an amen here? So here Jesus pushing us. Look at the 24th verse. He that loveth me not keepeth not my saying, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father which sent me. See, he keep turning us to the Father. Keep turning to the Father. And that's why there's a lack of holiness, because to actually function in holiness, you have to be aware of the fatherhood of God. That he's in control of everything. Yes. Jesus come to show us the Father. You understand that? All right. Go to, John. Write it down. Jesus' secret of triumph was the Father. Our secret of victory is through Jesus to the Father. You will never fully know God until you know him as Father. Now, it may seem I'm going a little off here, but that's all right. The word, if we're going to live in holiness, we're going to become acquainted with the word that very little is talked about, but it's a word called repent.
Yes, sir.
I have to use it, you're going to have to use it.
Amen.
You look up this verse, it's in the Song of Solomon, but it's the little foxes that spoils the vine. He's slipping them on you all the time. And you got the big thing straight, but the little thing, like not talking to your wife right, or not talking to your husband right, or not talking to your children, or not talking to your employer right. That's something. Them little foxes. And you wonder, what's going wrong? I'm doing everything. I prayed last night. Yeah. You kill that big fox. But that little fox got in on you. I mean, you know what I'm talking about. Marvin, you know what I'm talking about. Lift your hand up high. we all married, man. We know.
Yes, sir.
What you looking at me like for? You know what I'm talking about.
Yes, sir.
Oh, y'all on that front row there, except this boy here. See? Yeah, we always think somebody trying to get ahead of us. Who you talking to? Y'all know he come in, right? Yes. Yeah, that them little foxes coming in there try to make your day bad. Yes. Try to destroy some sweet moments. Yes. Don't want you to be happy. So you got to be mindful. Mindful. All right. Repent is a powerful kingdom of God operating word that has no substitute. Let's talk a minute about, as we talk about holiness, let's talk about progressive sanctification. Sanctification is positional, but it's progressive. It's an everyday thing that you got to take a part of. It's not holiness and sanctification. Neither one of them a bad word. They are your secrets. Amen. They are places where God can take you where the enemy can't find you. The very word that are our hiding place have been somewhat taken from us because they were built out to be something else. When you are in holiness, the enemy can't come there. When you are in sanctification, he can't come there. He can't become sanctified. He can't become holy. So he deceptively changed holiness into something else. A person that never do nothing wrong. That ain't no holiness. Holiness is I know I'm wrong, I'm about to get it right. You see what I'm saying? And so you lose your grip. You lose your power. You know, you call him Father, but you call him Father trembling because you don't think you deserve to call him Father. So you make a fake call. Father. You know, but the genuineness is not there. You know, none of my children knock at my house. None of them. No, none of them. I got to be prepared for somebody to come in at all times. None of them not. They all got the combination. None of them ring the doorbell. Say, Dad, I'm out here. They got a volume they can talk on. Ain't none of them ringing. It's, hey, how you doing? And I want them to have that right. Saying, what was your father? Now I'm going to make a statement. This might be tonight. The load you've been carrying is not necessary. I want you to put that on your note. I want you to put that on the note right now. The Lord, if you've been carrying any kind of load, he said, cast all your cares on him, for he cares for you. Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Now, notice where he give you rest at. Rest in your soul, because your spirit don't need no rest. Let me give you this. Sanctification. Write down 1 Thessalonians 5, 23 and 24 and pray it in the morning. Just pray it in the morning. 1 Thessalonians 5. And you know, I told you to pray it. Meditate. Read a little bit. Wait. Sometimes you got to be quiet. Pray in the spirit a little bit. Just listen. You and God have a conversation. All right. And he'll tell you more about the sanctification. Let's close tonight. Let's go. I got a lot of more things to say, but let's go to John 17. I want to show you something in John 17. I was meditating, praying this morning. John 17, verse 1. These words spake Jesus. That's who spake him?
Jesus.
All right. And what else he did next? And lifted. Right? And said, notice He looked to heaven and he said what? Father, Father, Father. That's what I want you to start doing as the Lord lead us here. Now, wait a minute. I want to show you something about this. And it's John 17. I wrote it down for you. The glory of God is beyond sanctification. So if you're going to experience God's glory, you're going to have to experience sanctification. All right? In that 17th chapter, Jesus was praying for the church. And if you read, all right, read the 17th chapter of John 2 before I see you again. All right? Because I'm going to start doing this. I'm not doing this because I know we need to do it. But it's salvation, sanctification, then glorification. Amen. Now, how many of y'all do not lack cockroaches? The cockroaches, y'all ain't never saw none? Well, I'm going to close with this. I'm going to show you how to get the cockroaches out of your life. But I don't care where you live. Every now and then you're going to see a cockroach. Cockroaches live in mansions and shacks. I know nobody. I ain't never saw a roach at my house. I know. That tickles me, man. You're going to try to talk to me. I've been around a while, you know. But I want to know, did you catch him? No. Whoa. 17 and 17. John 17 and 17. Jesus praying through that whole chapter, but he get to this one. And this is the way you are sanctified. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is true. My sanctification is in the word of God. My cleansing, John 15, 3, is in the word of God. Okay. Now, anything that is hindering you tonight, you watch it. You're sincere. You're not playing no game. Because the Lord knows when you're playing a game. But most Christians are sincere. If you tell them how to work it, they'll work it. So don't let him hold no pass on you at all. I don't care how bad it was. Don't let him hold it on you. But repent. See now, you can't pray without repenting. If the Holy Spirit have showed you something, you know, and I'm not talking about taking a gun and holding somebody up, you know. I'm talking about life. Search me, O God. Turn to Psalm 139, 23. Put this in your prayer too. Search me, O God. Know my heart. Try me. And know my thoughts. And see if there have been any wicked way in me. And lead, Psalm 139, verse 23. And lead me in the way everlasting. Huh? What 1 John 1, 9 say? Thou confess thy sin. Put that down, 1 John 1 and 9, because I got to get you in a place of repentance to know that you're free. Because as long as he got something, you know what he does? I think I was explaining to somebody else. Satan, when he got something on you, when you're praying or when you're trying, he's behind you. He's showing he got on a sign. You know how people walk picket? Satan walk picket. And you in prayer, he said, Thursday night. The Holy Spirit told her, but she ain't did nothing about it. And so now the Father's hand is tied. He can't give you what he want to give you. But that never happened to me again. Say it. Don't be so selfish and stubborn. When you make a mistake, get it off of your system. Repent And if you've talked to one another wrong, go to the place and say, look, I was wrong. I'm sorry. Forgive me. Amen. Don't just push it under water. Don't just put, 'cause all that's under the bed. All that mess under the bed. Under the kitchen table. You can't digest your food. All that mess under the table. That's enough. That's enough. We'll take up. Y'all use that, Father. Use that prayer. Write down Hebrews 4:12, because I want you to see at the end what the Word of God is for, is to keep your soul clean. No, discern what is the intent and thought of the heart. That's the soul. And so you need the Holy Spirit doing that. Hebrews 4:12, where you say the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharp and two-edged sword. Yeah. And keep yourself full of spirit and life. John 6:63 and Romans 8:2. Run that combination for me. John 6:63 and Romans 8:2. Run that combination past you as you pray. You're going to see the spirit of life there, all right? All right. We need an envelope for your giving. Lift your hands.